not only do I admire this cat, he's a brother in Christ, but I also consider him, man, just a good friend, a close friend of mine.
Guess who? Garrett Waddle, doing what he did all last season, leading the way for this TCU defense.
Dr. Williams, I'm hyped today in studio.
We got big time guests today.
Hey, bro, when you talk about big, my man got 36 inch arms.
I love doing podcasts with you, Harper, but I ain't going to lie, this is a big deal today.
This is the one
I'm excited about.
Come on, man. We're so excited because, man, not only do I admire this cat, he's a brother in Christ, but I also consider him, just a good friend, a close friend of mine.
Yeah.
And Garrett Wallow with the Tennessee Titans linebacker is here with us today. Bro, how you feeling? Were you coming straight from workout?
Oh, yeah. I'm straight from workout, so I think I feel out of place right now because everybody has a jean jacket on and a button up, and I have a nice little tight Nike shirt on. But
I skipped my workout this morning.
Yeah, we'll get into it later, but man, I feel amazing, and man, I'm no special, man. I'm a normal human being. I just like when these guys get, you know, I always let that be known. Obviously, me coming from a humble background, so yeah. I mean, I'm just excited to be on this podcast and chop it up and on it with two very great men.
Come on,
ready to pick the vibes up.
Pick the vibes up, G Wallow. So real quick, our show's been going for really a couple of years now, but just tell them you played at TCU.
Yeah.
And then the Houston Texans. Now you're with the Titans. Is that how it's go? Give us just a real recap about your career.
Yeah. So I played 4 years at TCU. I got a scholarship as a safety. Mm-hmm. My second year there, I switched over to linebacker. So I started 3 years at linebacker and was a team captain there for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Then I was drafted by the Houston Texans in 2021 in the fifth round. I did 3 years there, and then at the end of this third year, the Tennessee Titans picked me up, so I finished my last three games with the Titans, and now I'm going on year four with the Titans. So that's kind of been my journey. I've dealt with a lot of different coaching staffs in my time playing in the NFL, so there's been a lot of change. I'm going on year four with my four different head coach, so that kind of speaks for itself, which is fine, but you know, it's been a good journey. When you look back at it, like, a lot of things have been tough, but a lot of things have been rewarding as well. So I'm definitely excited about that.
What are one or two principles or one or two, like, pieces of advice you've picked up from some of these coaches, maybe other team captains, that you would say, hey, man, these couple of things are shaping me or starting to shape who I am right now?
Yeah, man. I want to say I have probably one of the best leaders in the locker room I've ever came across. His name was Christian Kirksey. He played 9 years. He was working for 10 last year, but he ended up retiring last year. But, man, he was probably one of the best leaders I've ever been around, best men I've ever been around, men of God. And he was like level 10, like, he was off the chain. And then you know, he'd always tell me, like, just don't let your situation or don't let anybody else tell you, like, or limit you, like, to who you can be. Like, man, just all it's always about like belief in yourself. And I was like, and to see that from him and just knowing, like, the success he had in his career was awesome. But he was also just even a better dude off the field. I think that was, like, having people like him in my corner. And then I've had the chance to have many great veteran, like, players who have poured into me. And, man, just seen a lot of good in me and just wanted to keep giving back. One of Kevin Perry Lewis, he was another guy. Man, just always just uplifted me, always just give me good advice of how the league kind of works and how the business side is, and don't let the business side affect, like, who you are on the field, and just keep being true to yourself and to your beliefs. And, I mean, I just think that was huge because, you know, you think about things that we deal with in our everyday lives, like, man, we face adversity every single day in our situations, in our jobs, whatever it is. Like, even as an athlete working out, like, man, I was battling with myself today as a perfectionist, right? So, man, it's just always coming back to that thing is, like, man, just having belief in yourself and confidence in yourself, no matter what the situation looks like.
So as you're building those relationships on these teams in the league and on the team, is there, like, a brotherhood between other Christians? Like, did the Christian men know who the other Christian men are? And is there a connection there? Is there a brotherhood there? What's that look like?
Right. So I think, you know, when people get a false perception when they think about guys in the NFL, because they think all guys are working, like, apart and trying to make a team, which is true. There is guys who are competing with each other. But we all know and we all have been through certain situations. So in that time of competition, we all lift each other up, which is what people don't see. I might be competing with the guy next to me, but I'm still going to give him like his flowers when he does something good. He's going to do the same for me most of the times. So it's not like a separation where you have Christian men over here and then you have men who maybe not be following God as much. No, it's like, man, we all come together and then you kind of accept people for like who they are. And some men, you'll have great conversations and God will be in those conversations at the forefront of those conversations. And, you know, just kind of like, man, I have my faith in God, so I'm not worried too much about the situation or what's going on in my situation. But other men, man, you just got to meet them where they are. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's the main thing, just being real, meeting people where they are, and not trying to push them too much in an area where they're not comfortable with, because then you don't get the true, genuine, like, character of who they are.
That's the difference. I call that the difference between companions and comrades. So a companion really is kind of a ride or die. That's going to be an inner circle guy. But a comrade may be somebody you don't have a lot in common with, but you're going to link up to defeat a common enemy. Right? So you're on a team, or at least you're on a roster with 60 other dudes. And to think that 60 cats are going to have everything in common is just, I mean, that never happens. But the one thing you do have in common is we're coming together as this team for this one goal. Right? And we're going to be comrades. Until it's time not to be.
Right, and it's really the opposite of having things in common. I mean, I walked in the first day and grown men with kids of five, and I'm just like, whoa, like this is a whole new environment.
Different
it's
not, world.
Yeah, we're all different ages. Like, I'm playing with guys 10 years older than me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, man, it's just, it's crazy.
What's been your favorite on-the-field moment? Best play, best game?
Oh, that's easy. my rookie year, man, I remember I used to talk to my old teammates from Traven Howard. He played in the league for a little while, and I was like, man, I can't wait to play on defense. He's like, trust me, the NFL is a long season. Your time's going to come. Because I was mostly special teams my rookie year, so I just remember COVID was happening a lot during this time, and a lot of guys got sick. And then it was only like three linebackers that were healthy or like four linebackers going to the game. And I'm like, perfect, I'm going to play the whole game, which I was. Like, I was like, oh, I'm starting this game. And it was like – it was one of the best games I've had in my NFL career. Like before, like my first start, I had 11 tackles. Man, I was just like absolutely in my zone. And like most athletes will understand, like, man, when you get in this zone and like you just kind of get this feeling, like you just kind of know like where the ball is going. You know, like the game slows down and like you get in the zone, like you just know you're going to have a good day.
Yeah.
And I knew from the moment of that first play, I was like, all right, it's going to be one of those days.
Is there a quarterback that you want to sack one day? Like, if you got to sack one guy next year, who do you want that guy to be?
Oh, man. I mean, you would have to go for the best. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes.
Come on.
But that's just, like, the respect thing. Like, okay, he's probably he's the best quarterback right now. At times, like, obviously, you know, playing with other teammates, too, whenever somebody, like, sacked Tom Brady, like, man, I just sacked Tom Brady on the sideline. I just laughing. So, you know what I'm saying? It's funny when they do that.
Don't sack Dak Prescott. I'm a Cowboys fan. Leave him alone. No.
I am not a Cowboys fan, bro. Take his head off. You hear me? Take his head off, bro.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Hey, so one thing I want to ask you about, you talk about Mahomes, the Chiefs. So when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, they bring the Vince Lombardi trophy out, and they give it to the owner of the Chiefs. And the first thing he did, he said, man, I just want to give glory to God. And I don't know a lot about him, but I saw another interview with him where he said, hey, look, my identity is in Jesus Christ. That's what I want to do. That's the owner of the Chiefs. And I just feel like this year, more than ever before, and I know some of it's because every player's got their social media, so we get to hear more from individual players. But it seems like this last season, there are a lot of players – talking about the Lord, talking gospel. I'm thinking about C.J. Stroud, Brock Purdy, Derek Carr, these guys going on TV right after game, giving God glory. And not just a quick nod to the Lord, but talk. Like, I saw one interview with C.J. Stroud. He kept talking about the Lord, and the guy interviewed him finally said, hey, man, I respect your faith, but let's move on and talk football. Ask him a football question. C.J. Stroud went back, started talking about the Lord again. Have you? Is there an increase in that? Is that just my perception? Have you seen more players kind of being bold to speak out about their faith?
Yeah, I think that started from my perception. It started with DeMario Davis and actually read his book, which was phenomenal. So if you get a chance, definitely read it.
Yeah.
But it came out, I think the first time I seen the video was DeMario Davis doing it. On Sunday, he was like, hey, you know, tomorrow we could talk football, but today I'm going to give all glory to God. This is the Lord's day, because we play football on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Every day I feel like you should live like that, but especially on Sundays. So that was beautiful. And, I mean, when he came out with that video, everybody was sending it to me. I was like, man, I like that. I love that's that. Good. So CJ started doing it. And especially, like, seeing CJ in the locker room, like, he wasn't just a guy who just – put out that show, like, he actually lived like that, right?
Yeah.
And you talk about, like, identity, and I think, like, in the NFL locker room, that's, like, a place where most men are lost in their identity because they're tying their identity to their profession. So it's huge, like, to really find out your identity is in Christ because, man, that's what keeps you grounded, especially in a cutthroat business to where you really don't know what your everyday looks like.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, like, see these things like, okay, this is a huge trend and guys are finally coming out and putting their faith out there, but in the NFL locker room, there's no secret. I mean, I like before games, especially like when I got to Tennessee Titans, like 20 to 30 of us would huddle in the showers and pray before the game.
Come on.
And that's what people don't see. You know what I'm saying? So you have these men of faith in the locker room all over the place. And just even when I think about like before every game, like, you know, you have this whole group of guys, probably like 50-some guys in the locker room. We're all holding hands, praying on knees. Like, that's just the things people don't see. Yeah. And those prayers get really emotional before the game. Like, you'll have somebody, like, say a nice prayer and, like, you know, like, because, you know, it's coming from the heart. We're passionate about the game. We're thankful for the moment that God has given us. So, man, it's just beautiful moments that people don't see that miss out on that could really be powerful if it was filmed and put out there.
Come
sure.
on. I want to see that. I want to see that speaking in tongues prayer in the NFL locker room. That's what I want
to
see.
Man, to have
get that emotion.
30 young men, like you said, all trying to find their identity, all trying to figure out what does it mean to be this young man God's called me to be, to play in this league, and to have one another to lean on, to pray with. That's powerful.
Well, and what's interesting, G, and what you share, Dr. Williams, what you just said, this is not germane to a NFL locker room.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, how many men out there, young men, middle-aged men, old men, are still in a career, still in a profession where they're being defined by what they do instead of who they are?
Yeah, yeah. Still trying to figure out their identity in their 40s, in their 50s.
That's it. And I heard a I don't know if I heard a professor say it or I read it, but they had said, man, Jesus is far more interested in who we're becoming and less interested in what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Like who we are becoming in the process.
Yeah.
Right? So at the end of the day, you know, Garrett Wallow, whether he's a 7-year veteran, a 10-year veteran, a 20-year veteran, whether he's won 5 Super Bowls, 2 Super Bowls, or no Super Bowls, like, his identity is, man, he's a man of God.
Yeah.
Like, he's a child of God. He's rooted in Christ, right? Oh, and when we get away from that, that's when it starts to fall apart. And I think there are so many men today, they're so dissatisfied in where they are because they're dissatisfied in who they are.
Yeah.
They don't know, bro.
Well, and if you define yourself by what you do, and you're discontent in what you do, then you feel discontent in your very identity.
Yeah.
But if you can define yourself by who you are in Christ, like you're saying, then you lose the game, you win a game, you like your job, you don't like your job, good day, bad day, that identity is not affected by the ever-changing circumstances, right? Like, if you're a man of God, then no matter what team you're on, what you're playing, or as Harper's saying, even after you retire – that identity is not affected by any of that.
Right.
Yeah.
In fact, it just gives you a platform to live that out.
Yeah.
Right. I remember seeing John Harbaugh after the Ravens won their playoff game, about to go to the AFC Championship game. He comes out, press conference, one of his biggest moments of his career.
Yeah.
Everybody there wants to talk about him. What a great coach he is. What a great game he coached, the victory. And the first thing he did, he goes, I want to quote some scripture. And I was watching it Saturday night late. They just watched the game. I was like, did he just say quote scripture? And I'm thinking maybe he'll hit up some John 3:16, right?
Hit him with
it. He goes, 1 Chronicles 29. I was like, 1 Chronicles 29. I was looking at my Bible. I was like, what? What is 1 Chronicles 29:11, right?
Yeah.
And he starts quoting this verse about how all glory and all victory belongs to the Lord. And in that moment of man's victory, when all the world's wanting to elevate you, to see yourself in that lens and say, no, my whole life is to elevate Christ. What did John the Baptist say? I got to decrease. He's got to increase. And I love that example. And I don't know that coach, but, man, that moment really stood out to me. But it's like you're saying, Harp, that's not just for those who are on TV. Yeah. I'm watching him on TV, but my kids are watching me every day.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you got people watching you because you're an athlete, but you also got people who just watch you in life. And we're called to be that example even to them, right?
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And then, like, one of my favorite things, like, scriptures, or not scriptures, quotes I've ever heard was, comparison is a thief of joy.
Hmm.
And when I thought about that, and, you know, it was one of my guys on the team development teams in Texans that read me that quote. And I just think about, like, man, if you compare your situation to somebody else's, you'll never be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because there's always going to be probably somebody in a situation where you want to be.
Mm.
But, man, you just never know what their situation looks like. You never know what their everyday looks like. They may be dealing with their own struggles. You know what I'm saying? So, man, it's just important to really find your identity and be rooted in your identity, because our emotions change, things change, situations in life happen all the time. But if we know who we are and whose we are, then we're going to be good.
Yeah, yeah, I love – I heard a guy say one time, everybody thinks the grass is greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it the most.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's where it's greener, right?
That's good. Mm-hmm.
And man, what we're talking about today, and again, I love having G on the show. Dr. Williams, I always, you know, love doing the show with you, right? And the reality is, and I love how G opened it with listen, man, I'm not anybody special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? He may get to play on television on Sunday, and he may have people asking for autographs and taking pictures. But at the end of the day, man, he has real struggles. He has real insecurities. He wrestles with real problems.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in a privileged position. You're a professor at a university, at a seminary, right? And people are constantly looking to you. I mean, you have students. You basically shape the future. All of us have varying platforms, varying influence, all the way down to, you know, to somebody that's just trying to lead themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the thing we're all wrestling with, and this is where I think it gets to the heart of what we're talking about today, is that we profess to believe something, and we want our life to line up with what we believe.
That's so good.
And Eugene Peterson said that the most difficult thing for him, and think about Eugene Peterson, he's one of the most godliest people, you know, when you ask others about him, that our generation has known.
Yeah.
Tremendous pastor, theologian, right? I didn't necessarily agree with all of his theology, but
great
a
author,
godly man,
man, right?
Amazing, amazing dude. Wrote the Message Bible.
Yeah.
And he said, the hardest thing in my life is to get what I believe to line up with how I live. And he called it congruency, that he was always striving for congruency.
That's so
good. And
that's
I think that's the struggle for every one of us.
Yeah, I want to practice what I preach. I want my beliefs to actually shape my behavior, right? And like you said, I think about the husbands, the fathers watching this right now. You know, you're not going to be on TV like CJ Stroud tomorrow. But you are going to be in front of your coworkers. You are going to be in front of your wife, your kids, and your kids are watching you every day. I'll watch guys like you maybe once a week on Sundays.
Yeah.
But my kids, they watch me every day. And to have that line up and to have your belief and your behavior line up doesn't mean you're perfect.
Yeah.
Right. It just means you're striving after the Lord consistently. Even when you fail, you see it as sin. You call it out. I mean, some of my, I think, best examples to my kids have come after I've sinned, after I've blown it. And I go back to them and repent and ask for forgiveness. Right.
Yeah. Come on. That's real.
But that, you know, what does it take? What do you think it takes to kind of have that consistency in your life to say, I want to live for Christ, but man, I got the world coming at me. I got all this stuff coming at me. How do we stay consistent in that walk?
Yeah, I just think you find out the things that keep you balanced. Mm. Like, for me, it's my family.
So
a lot of the time, I spend a lot of time with my family any chance I get during the off season because I know they keep me balanced. Just being around, like, my nieces and nephews, my brother-in-law, like, man, all of them, man, just they keep me grounded, being around my wife and just seeing, like, man, because I didn't really come from – you know, my whole family, we used to be strong a little bit when I was younger, but we kind of like split out and kind of did our own things as I got older. So, man, when you just like see like the whole family getting together and everybody just having a good time, and you can see like the younger kids are listening and watching what the older people are doing and they catching on, like, you know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful thing to watch. And sometimes, man, like, you bring up your kids, like, your kids are watching even if you don't know.
Yeah.
And I just learned that from being around my nieces and nephews. So, man, I just find things that just keep me balanced. Like, my family is a huge part. And then, like, another thing is, like, man, just hanging out with a great group of guys, that helps me keep balanced, too, because, I mean, we all have dreams and we all have aspirations. And sometimes when we don't feel like we're in the place that we need to be, we all get frustrated and kind of give up on those dreams and aspirations sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? And then a lot of things is, too, like Harv said, man, you look at things and you try to align it with how you feel, like you want your life to be and how your life is. But when you end up getting to those certain things that you want to have, you don't realize, like, it comes with a certain level of responsibility. You have to go through certain things in order to sustain and appreciate that responsibility.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Why, like, man, it's all a process. Yeah, you can't rush anything.
Yeah. And that's what, good word. And Jonathan, what you said, congruency or consistency is not perfection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Martin Luther called it the tentatio. He said all of life is the tentatio, which is tension.
Yeah.
Right? He said, and the tension is we know what is supposed to be or we know what should be, but we live in the reality of what is.
Yeah.
And we're striving for what should be. We're striving for what is supposed to be. But we still have to live in the reality of what is. And a lot of life is, how do you respond to that tension?
That's good.
Right? And I want to highlight something G said, man, because I don't want men watching this to miss, bro. And he and I joke about this. He knows it's one of my big things. Lions don't run with hyenas.
Yeah.
Hyenas run with hyenas. Lions run with other lions.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to get better, whether that's in football, whether it's in theology, whether it's in holiness, like, if you want to grow in those things, you've got to surround yourself with people who are ahead of you.
Oh, that's good, man.
You got to surround yourself with people who are ahead of you. And there's a lot of cats, you know, they're a lion that runs with hyenas because it makes them feel big.
Yeah.
Makes them feel good, right? They get that. They get to lead the pack, but there's no growth there.
Yeah.
Like there's no growth.
You're not being challenged. No. You're not being held accountable.
That's what you call, man, just think about that. You know, somebody's always told me, if you're the smartest guy in the room, you need to go into a different room.
That's
what that is,
bro,
right?
That's
there.
A word.
That's a good word.
That's a word, bro.
That's real.
What you're talking about is actually having, community around you, actually having godly people around you. And I think, you know, we talked about the research that said 76% of adult men say they don't have a good friend.
Yeah.
They don't have someone they can lean on. But what a blessing when, instead of isolating ourselves, instead of trying to run alone or run with people that don't challenge us, you have your wife, you have your kids, you have nieces and nephews, you have your brothers, right?
Yeah.
You have a community of people that sharpen you, that challenge you. Yeah. I think that is the main thing we need if we're going to have that consistency in our life.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean, and again, I just want to clarify this because people be sending us emails sometimes. It doesn't mean that's all you hang out with. I really do look at all of my relationships. You all know this. I've shared this before. Like, every year I do a relationship inventory. Like, I filter and think about the people that are in my life, speaking into my life, shaping my life. None of us are in neutral.
Yeah.
And there are people who I enjoy hanging out with.
Yeah.
But I don't grow when I'm with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They are for a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's nothing wrong with hanging out with them. I mean, we're not doing anything bad or illegal or anything, but we go out to have a good time.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of growth. You know, I'm trying to influence them more than I'm letting them influence me.
Oh, yeah.
But I hang out with those cats.
Yeah.
What I don't do is spend the majority of my time with those cats.
Mm. Yeah.
Then there are also those people in my life who I don't necessarily like hanging out with, but when I'm around them, I grow.
Yeah.
So I force myself to be around them. I die to myself and say, man, I can't stand the sound of this cat's voice, but I'm going
to
listen.
I don't want to be with them, but I need to be with them.
But I need to be with them, right? And it's interesting, though. Typically, those people over time, I start to enjoy being with them more and more, right? But then there's those category of cats, bro, that, man, you love being around them, but then you grow when you're with them.
Yeah,
right. I think of you like that. I think of you like that. I think of Delario like that. Like, I can list people that, man, I love being around. Like, when they call, I can't wait to answer. Or when they text, I can't wait to text back, because I know, man, A, I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
But more so, man, at the end of it, I'm going to be a better dude.
It does sharpen you, right?
It does sharpen me. And everybody watching, like, you should be categorizing your relationships.
Oh, I had a youth pastor say it this way. and it's always stuck with me, goes, you need a Paul in your life, that mentor, that person discipling you, pouring into you, sharpening you, even if you don't love hanging out. They're what you need. But you need that Barnabas in your life, too, that guy that's you're running the race together, that brotherhood that you're praying together in the locker room before the game. They're calling you to encourage you, right? But then you also need that Timothy, the guys that maybe they aren't spiritually mature, maybe even guys in your life that aren't believers, right? Yeah. But you're loving on them, you're investing in them, you're hanging out with them, you're building that relationship, and you're that mentor to them. You're one pointing them to Christ. And if we have all three of those relationships, I think that's when we get to thrive in all the different things God's called us to be.
Especially like, man, being on the field, man, there's no better, I guess, like feeling when you have a teammate that you can call a brother, that when things are going wrong on the field, which happens all the time, we just cover it up, or there to lift you up and like kind of lift you up in those moments, obviously. And then, you know, you think about that in your walk of life, like there's no better relationship to have like a good brother helping you along the way, because one, they're a man and they know what you're going through. Mm. And then two, they can help hold you accountable and you can do the same vice versa to them.
I love that.
And they understand you in ways that sometimes maybe a woman doesn't. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So, man, it's always good to have just run with a good group of lions.
It's like you're talking about on the field, everybody's got a different position, but you need every position, right? Yeah. You need the lineman, you need the quarterback, you need the tight end, you need the linebackers. Man, we need those linebackers, right? And so you need all these various people in your life, especially for those hard times.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's some dude watching right now about to send a text to a guy saying, bro, you a hyena.
Or maybe they're the hyena.
Somebody's about to get a text.
Yeah, somebody's watching right now. They're like, I think I'm the hyena.
No, I got a good one for you. So I tried to explain to my wife what a lion and a hyena was. Yeah. So every time we, you know, I have a conversation with her, she asked me, is he a lion? I was like, sometimes I feel bad. Like, well, he's a sometimes lion. But he's not really. I try not to tear him down. I said, but there's sometimes
he a might lion. Be a leopard.
I said, nah, baby. He's a straight up hyena.
that's her code word now.
And then sometimes I explained it well enough where she walks in and she's like, yep, he's a lion. I don't have to say anything. I was like, yeah, he's a lion.
That's your cell phone. It's like Chris Harper, lion.
Lion. Right. Yeah.
Jonathan Williams, hyena.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, that's amazing.
No, that's funny. She's using that as code now to figure out where these guys are.
Every conversation I have with another man, I say, hey, is he a lion?
You got to throw it back on her next time she gets off the phone with some friend of hers, some girl, say, lion or hyena?
Yeah, I know, right?
Who you spend your time on the phone with? Who are you invested in?
So community is so important.
Yeah.
Right? But community, more times than not, will reinforce that identity.
Yeah,
right?
That's good.
And help shape that identity, man. So we can laugh and we can joke and we have a good time, which we do. But for our viewers, man, that's real.
Yeah.
Your community is often going to shape your identity, and your identity is oftentimes going to fuel your confidence. Your community. Just be mindful of that. We're actually going to be back next week with G on the show, because we're going to talk about work-life balance.
Love it.
And is there such a thing?
Oh,
so you ain't going to miss that, man. I'll see y'all next time.
All right. Be crazy. Thanks, Garrett. Thanks, Hart.